Take your Bibles with me if you would. Let's open up the book of John. The book of John. John chapter 12. I think one of the things as a missionary sometimes that happens, and I'm sure it happens in your Christian life too, and your pastor, and all of us, is that we have a tendency sometimes to lose sight of why we serve. And in John chapter 12, we find the story of Jesus Christ in Bethany at the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And something happens in this story that to me epitomizes what it means to serve. And we're going to make a comparison, we're going to draw a comparison tonight to another story that takes place in the same house, but sometime before this story takes place. But tonight I want to start in John chapter 12, and then we're actually going to go backwards a little bit and see a comparison or companion story to this one. So John chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 to start with tonight. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. If you would stand with me as we read the Word of God, these 8 verses here, and then we'll pray and get into the message tonight. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you tonight, we say thank you. Lord, we worship you. We praise your name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. And we ask tonight that your perfect will would be done. That our hearts would be in tune to you tonight. Father, that we would learn something that you have for us that we can use and apply to our life. I pray and ask that you would bless this church and all of her ministries, Lord. I pray that you would have your perfect will here and that you'd be honored and glorified for all that's said and done tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage of scripture to me is always, I've always thought it was very, just an interesting passage of scripture. And when we read the passage of scripture, we're drawn immediately to the act that Mary commits there, the service or the act of worship that Mary submits herself to in this passage of scripture, that she takes that box of ointment, that precious ointment, that she breaks that ointment open and she anoints Jesus. She washes his feet with her hair. Those of you who have long hair, it'd be tough to do. My hair wouldn't really work well for that, Pastor. I don't think it would work well. Cynthia, when we met, when we were dating in Bible college and when we got married, she had really, really long hair. A lot like Abigail and Danielle. Abigail has super long hair. If you see her tonight, see her hair is way, she has super, I think it's awesome. And Cynthia liked her long hair too until Morgan was born. And then it was like, that's a lot of work. And the baby pulls the hair. So she got it cut. And there are times she regrets it. She says she wishes she hadn't cut it because it doesn't grow as long anymore. But can you imagine taking your hair and washing someone's dirty feet? I mean, it was Jesus. But still, to wash her feet, wash his feet with her hair. And then Judas comes and he says, why was this done? And obviously the Bible tells us it is because he was a thief. He wasn't a saved man. He didn't care at all for the poor. He just thought that the money could be used for something else, for himself. Yeah. And then Christ says, let her alone. He commends her worship, the act of service that she performs. But that's not even where I want to go tonight. I want to talk about Martha. Because the Bible, almost in a passing way, says there they made him a supper in verse 2, and Martha served. And that's all it says. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. That's all it says. And for a long time, I would read the passage and I read through it and I read about Mary and I thought that was really interesting, really cool what Mary did. And I completely missed what the Bible says there, what the Apostle John says, and Martha served. And the reason I passed over it is because it hadn't clicked in my mind yet, the companion passage or the other passage that describes not that event, but a similar event in the same house, but sometime before that event. In fact, the other passage we're going to read tonight happens before Lazarus dies and is resurrected. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Because in Luke chapter 10, we find a similar event in the same house, but at some time in the past, before John chapter 12. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, verse 40 says, was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Sometime in the past, before Lazarus died and rose and was resurrected by Jesus Christ, Martha received Jesus into her home to serve him supper. And from what we can study and learn in the Gospels, apparently it was not an infrequent occurrence for Christ to stop at Martha's house to stay or have supper or visit with that family. Apparently a very dear family to Christ and to his disciples. From what we can understand or what we can gather, I guess, from study, from commentaries, from other men who have studied the subject, there's some speculation that probably Martha was a widow. That the house was probably owned by her, that Lazarus and Mary lived there with her and helped her with her house. But because it was her home, she felt obligated that when someone came to visit, she would take care of them. As a missionary, we kind of understand that because we're frequently in other people's homes or visiting other people. And we see the way that they go out of their way to accommodate our family. They do so many extra things to help us. And we wonder sometimes how much have they truly sacrificed so that we can have some comfort while we're there in their home. How many of you truly feel comfortable in someone else's home? It's just not easy to do, is it? But yet if you're going to invite someone to your home, especially if it's not family, you tend to go out of your way to try to accommodate that person. And here was Martha. Jesus Christ comes. She goes to prepare him. And as she's preparing dinner, as she's preparing those things, she looks and where's Mary? Mary's not helping. And she goes to Christ and she looks at Christ and she says, why don't you see that she's sitting here doing nothing and I'm doing all this work? And I'm striving and working and trying to accommodate you. And she's doing absolutely nothing. And she rebukes Jesus. Aren't you going to do something about it? And Christ says, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. But there's one important thing. And Mary's chosen that part. And it will not be taken from her. And that part was worship. Was worship. Mary was so enthralled by Jesus. She was so in love with Christ. And I'm not talking about a intimate love. I'm talking about that spiritual, that love for who He was, for what He was doing, that her only thought was to sit at his feet and listen to what He had to say. Lazarus, even mentioned here, he was probably sitting at the table too, because it's kind of common for men just to sit around while the women are working, right? You know, even in nature, do you know lions, the king of the jungle, lion, the males do not hunt? It's the females that do all the hunting. Do you know that? Check that out. I mean, wow. But here they are, they're sitting around. And I believe with all my heart, something happened between that first time, or the first time we see it in the Bible, and then in John chapter 12, when we see it happen again. I believe with all my heart, something happened in Martha's heart that changed her attitude. Because the second time, the Bible says she was serving, but she never once complained to Christ. Where was Lazarus? Sitting at the table. Where was Mary? Performing an act of service and worship to Christ. Taking that ointment and washing Jesus' feet with her hair. But the Bible says Martha served. You see, in our Christian lives, in our service to God, in our time that we're working, even as missionaries on the foreign field, sometimes we forget why we do it. Why? Why do we serve? Why do we come to church on Sunday morning? Why do we come to church on Sunday night? Why do we work? Why do we sing and help in the choir? Why do we teach Sunday school? Why do we go out and witness and knock on doors and pass out tracts? Why do we give offerings and tithes and missions offerings and all those things? Why do we do those things? Is it just to check off a list that we've done it this week? I remember in Bible college and seminary, and I believe they did it because they were trying to help us understand the responsibilities we had, but we had these things that were called Christian service reports. And every week we had to fill out a Christian service. We're supposed to. We didn't always do it, but we were supposed to fill out a Christian service report. And all that Christian service report, we were supposed to mark off. We were at church on Sunday morning. We were at church on Sunday night. We were at church on Wednesday. I think it was 2 hours of visitation a week or something like that. And I think we had Bible reading on there. It was all kinds of stuff on the Christian service report. I'll never forget. Yes, in Bible college, there were times I filled out that report. I went on visitation, not because I wanted to, but so I could check it off the list. Anybody ever do that with church? Don't raise your hand. Of course, your pastor's looking at me. He's not looking at you. So you can't. Do you ever check it off the list? You ever read your Bible just to check it off the list? You ever pray just to check it off the list? I believe that Martha in Luke chapter 10, her service was without worship, and so it was cumbersome. I repeat that. Her worship, or her service, without worship, was cumbersome. If you're trying to serve God, if you're wanting to serve God, or if you're serving God, but you're not worshiping God, it will become cumbersome and you will quit, or you will complain, or you will become critical, just like Martha. Pastor, you've never had critical people in your church, have you?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Sometimes we can all just get a little bit critical, can't we?
Sure.
Anybody have that problem? Oh, yeah. Oh, I see it all the time. In Brazil, somebody comes up and says, Pastor, so-and-so is... And as soon as they say so-and-so is, I want to say, whoa, hang on. Before you finish the statement, are you making a comparison? Paul said we compare ourselves among ourselves, and we are unwise. Before you say that, you ever see a sponge? You know why? Ladies, anybody here wash with a sponge? You wash your dishes with a sponge? No, everybody washes dishes in the dishwasher here. What am I thinking? Good grief. In Brazil, we don't have dishwashers. And my kids go, now that they've learned what dishwasher is, why? We need a dishwasher. I got four of them. And they work really well. That's what my mom always said. Why can't we have a dishwasher, Mom? Mom says, we got four. There's 7 days in the week. That means three are going to have to do it twice, and one gets a day off. But then again, the next week they'll have it twice. So, but you know why you squeeze out a sponge after you use it? Because if it stays wet, it gets moldy and stinky, right? Sometimes we get moldy as Christians, don't we? Because we're soaking it all in all the time, but we're not laying it out. Martha found that her service was cumbersome because it wasn't mixed with worship. She wasn't worshiping Christ. And because she wasn't worshiping Christ, she found that her service, it was impossible. It was tedious. And that's what happens, I believe. But you see, I believe at some point between Luke 10 and John 12, she found out that if she worshiped and served, it made all the difference. Because there's another thing that happens. Sometimes we worship, or people say they worship, but then they don't serve. We have a thing that happens, and I'm seeing it more as we travel around on furlough. There are churches that are so focused on praise and worship. And there's a lot of praise and worship, and then about 10, 15 minutes of preaching. It's all singing and all music and all, and then the pastor gets up and he can speak for about 10 minutes, his little soliloquy or whatever it is, and then he sits down, and that's all the Bible you get. There's a problem when we worship only and service isn't involved. Worship and service walk hand in hand. So worship without service, that's inconsistent. It's not possible. Worship should lead us to service. And our worship, our service, should in fact be an act of worship. And that's exactly what we see when we go back to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, what happens to Mary, or what happens to Martha is this. The Bible says there they made him a supper and Martha served. And that's all it says. That's all it says. She had learned. Her worship, her service was an act of worship. Lazarus was sitting at the table with Christ, talking with him. Mary takes the ointment. She breaks it. She washes his feet with her hair. And her act of worship, although it gets more attention, her act of service, although it garners more attention, is no more or no less important than that of Lazarus or of Martha. You see, in our churches and in our service and in our ministries, there are times when some people are just going to garner more attention. It happens. It happens. But that does not mean that your act of service, no matter how small, is any less important than the one who gets the attention. Martha has a few words said, but what she did was so important. It was so important to Christ because it allowed him some comfort just before the final days of his life. What Martha did was important because it showed that she was okay serving in a small thing that perhaps no one would recognize. What Martha did was important because even though several verses aren't dedicated to what she did, God still found it important enough to put it in His Word and show us that to God, Martha was important. She served. She had learned that her act of service, in conjunction with her worship, glorified God. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus Christ, here speaking in Matthew 15, is talking to the Pharisees. And look at what He says. Matthew 15, starting in verse number 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain did they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. One thing, when you looked at the life of a Pharisee, if you saw a Pharisee, you lived back in that time, you would look at their life and you'd say, now there's a person who walks with God. There's a person who serves God. Because with their mouth, with the way they lived for people to see, they looked like they were worshiping and serving God. But Christ said they were hypocrites, that their heart was far from God. I would say that Martha was no hypocrite. A small character, a small service, but important to God because she had learned that her service was worship. She had learned to worship Christ in her service, with her service, as she served. As a missionary, sometimes I have to stop. I have to sit down. And I have to ask God, am I doing this because I love you? Or am I doing this just to check off a box? And at those moments, God helps me to understand. Worship me first, He says. Serve me because you worship. And no matter how small the task, no matter how small the service, or how great it is, if it's in worship, it's done the right way for the right reason, and it honors and glorifies God. Martha, to me, is a great example of a heart that God changed over the course of a short period of time, but so that her service honored and glorified God in all that she did. Tonight, as we think about mission, service, worship, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you serving? Why are you coming to church? Why are you witnessing? It shouldn't be just to check off a box. It should be because we love God and we want to worship God with everything we do. Go with me to close tonight to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 4. Paul is talking here in chapter 5 about the things that we should do so that we're fulfilling the will of God. In verse number 4, he talks about some things that we shouldn't do. In verse number 4, he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. Speaking of acts that we should not commit with the tongue, but rather giving of thanks. And I want to focus really quickly to close tonight on the last part of that verse, but rather giving of thanks. That phrase, giving of thanks, in the Greek, is the word that we get Eucharist from. The Greek word. It's speaking about an act of worship. I believe with all my heart that our lives, your life, my life, everything we do and say should literally be acts of worship to God. And if we could grasp that thought, if we could understand, is what I'm thinking, is what I'm doing, is what I'm saying an act of worship to God, imagine the difference it would make in everything that we do. And what I am, is what I am doing an act of worship to God? Is what you're doing tonight an act of worship to God? Is what you're going to do tonight an act of worship to God? Now, does that mean that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're constantly on our knees praying? No, that's not what I'm talking about. But would God be honored? Would God be glorified in what we do and say and think? I believe Martha glorified God.